It's a random commando, so why don't we all start at once?
I hate that already.
Three, two, one.
Hey everybody, welcome to Hard Reboot.
I'm Alan.
I hate all
Come
of
on,
you.
Matt, play along.
No.
Play with us in this space.
Come
it's
on, Matt. Yes,
space.
And yes, and yes, and yes, and.
And that party pooper is Matt, and we're Hard Reboot.
I have to edit this mess. That was gross.
We love you.
Hi, I'm
well,
Matt,
I'm not taking
and these
again.
Two hate me.
No, we love you. It's all
love
a place
you.
Of love. Look, it's 9:20 in the morning.
I'm not even awake yet.
I was up very late watching a wrestling pay-per-view and then playing Control because it's all I want to do right now is play Control.
My knee kept me awake, so.
So we're all doing great. 9:20 a.m.
So, but I read some more of The Wheel of Time, so Eye of the World, it's really great. So as you can hear, listeners, we're a little bit rudderless, and that's because today we are doing a rando commando, so we have no idea what we're about to talk about.
Pretty much.
Very exciting.
So I believe the way we do this, if I remember right, is each of us chooses a property. And then each of us chooses a medium and a genre or
yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So each of us is going to choose that. And then we're going to roll a die and determine things randomly. Like it says in the name.
The random commando. Now, last time we said we're going to have a guest scheduling, et cetera, et cetera. That's going to be in November this time. So we just moved the November random commando and the September guest, we just switched them around. So,
we did.
But we will still be having a guest then. And next month. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good time. I'm very excited.
It's a great guest. I'm very excited to get them on.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And next time is going to be just our Verncraft, our continuing Vern Lovecraft mashup universe. Man, we should probably go back and listen to those episodes so we know what we're doing.
I might have to. One of them's real weird. It's like an ARG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was the Around the World in 80 Days.
Yeah.
And the other two are just like the Avengers, but in a Verncraft world.
Yeah.
And, so that's going to be a good time.
So for the property I chose, The Most Dangerous Game.
God damn it, Alan.
Sweet damn, that tea is still hot. Okay. Gonna wait on that. Okay, so Matt, what, you gotta pick another one then, I guess?
Yeah. Knew this was gonna happen.
This is why we say what it is.
Yeah.
It's the fun of the whole thing.
All right,
I'm
Jake.
Gonna go... Little Shop of Horrors is public domain?
Technically, I think it was one of the... It's like the movie didn't do the right doobly-doo.
Oh, hot damn. I'm not going to go with that one. I'm going to go with... Moby Dick?
All right. We got some whales. That's good.
I probably shouldn't have picked Moby Dick.
Are we going to put him in space?
Do you want to
mulligan? Are they going to wear space helmets?
No, my other one also doesn't make any sense. I'm just throwing things at the wall.
That's kind of what we do here.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not going to choose like one that I want to see us do in like a serious, well, our level of serious capacity.
I was going to say, yeah.
So instead, I'm choosing The Phantom of the Opera.
Ooh.
Okay.
Number three.
That is one of my favorite things.
Now, do we want to talk about our mediums and our genres now?
Yeah, I think we should pick all the things first and then
roll.
Do the roll. All
right.
And see what kind of monster mash we get out of it.
All right, Alan. What's your medium?
I went first last time. I think we should go Jake goes first this time and then you go first last.
Okay, Jake, what's
okay.
your medium?
Here's my bad idea, and pray to God we do not pick this. Professional wrestling company.
Okay.
Hell yes.
I have a If it doesn't get picked, that is absolutely going on the back burner, but it's sort of a shared universe idea, so we'll have to talk about it later.
I love it. Okay, so I have to go next. Oh my god. My brain just stopped when you said that. I love it.
the best, weirdest medium there is.
Yeah, but the best storytelling platform. Comic books. I'm going to go comic book.
Comic book? All right.
Nice and basic. Alan.
Silent film.
All right.
Sure. Silent film... Oh, that was your medium. Okay, yeah. I thought you went first again. I was like, that is not a genre, but that is a medium.
All right, so genre.
My genre is very stupid.
Okay.
Good, I love
it. So, Matt, you go first on genre then.
Yeah, I've... CW-style drama.
Okay.
That's a very niche. That's a very niche genre, but you know,
there's a narrow window to hit that. It's very melodramatic and overdone.
We make a Riverdale. We make a Riverdale or a season one of Arrow is basically what it is.
Okay.
Direct to DVD sequel.
God damn it!
Oh, now I really hope we get Moby Dick 2, Revenge of the Dick. Okay.
That is very dumb, Alan, but I love it.
It is a very quantifiable genre, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know exactly what I mean.
Aladdin 2, right. But not the one with the hot dad.
That's Aladdin 3,
That's
isn't
Aladdin
it? King
3.
Of Thieves?
Yeah,
King of Thieves is 3.
With super hot dad?
With his hot dad and the turtle and the mighty
hand. Uncomfortably hot dad.
I mean, they got Robin Williams back. They had to up the game.
Yeah.
What is a genre that I can pick?
I mean,
I'm just going to say sci-fi. I'm going to go basic on this one.
Okay. No, that's totally fair. Like, see, here's the fun thing, though. We could easily end up with, like, just an episode of Hard Reboot out of this. Or we can end up with just, like, how do you do a pro wrestling direct-to-DVD sequel of Moby Dick?
I hope none of mine get picked except maybe sci-fi or Moby Dick. I don't want the professional wrestling company picked. I don't know what we would do for any of these for that.
If we do get silent film Phantom of the Opera, that already exists, so our job is done.
That's a pretty easy episode. In and out. 12
I've seen
minutes.
That one. It's very good.
It is very good.
Okay, Alan. Start rolling dice. Yeah. Is 4 a reroll?
All right, so for the listeners, 4 is reroll. So first is 1, so Dangerous Game.
Okay,
that's
all right.
Good. That can work for any of these.
That is very open. All right.
Yes.
As a comic book.
Okay.
Sci-fi.
It's a 4. That's a reroll.
Okay, the suspense is killing me.
That's a 4. That's a reroll.
Hell in.
Rolling hot tonight.
As a CW drama.
Oh, no. no, this is fine. This is good. I think this is fine.
Okay.
All right. So the most dangerous comic book drama. Isn't that just The Hunger Games?
Kinda.
Well, that's like YA dystopian.
CW drama.
No, I think it's different. I've actually read all The Hunger Games.
So have I.
A few book series I've actually read. I don't think it's very CW. I think the movie tries to sex it up, tries to CW it up a little bit, but...
That's true. The movies are much more sexy than the books ever were.
Yeah.
Except for that one just really awful line read of, "Damn you, Gale." I will never not make fun of that line read.
From Katniss? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also gave us the gift of, "That is mahogany."
That is mahogany. Effie Trinket is a treasure.
Yep. Mahogany.
Let's see.
All right. So let's.
How do you make a CW drama when you don't have any actors that are clearly older than the characters they're playing?
I mean, we just do exactly what you said.
Do you just draw them older?
Yeah. We Dawson cast, but in a comic book, it's fine.
Okay, but here's the thing. So the premise. For those of you who are listening who might not know, The Most Dangerous Game, the premise is essentially a bunch of really rich people buy up a bunch of land And then they bring people onto that land and hunt them for sport.
I think if we're going to make this a CW drama, let's reframe this into some sort of high school, like some private academy somewhere on an island.
Okay. We're tiptoeing into Battle Royale, but I...
Yeah, and my other problem is...
We're gonna be all over the place.
I think what makes the Most Dangerous Game interesting, or at least to me, is that they are adults. Like, these are people that have been ripped from their lives that are just planted in this place and told survive. So there's no special training. There's no nothing. They were just yoinked out of their lives and dropped into this bunch of woods and is like, hey, we're going to kill you. Run.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we maintain that? Okay. Okay. Follow me down this pitch.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do this almost as like kind of like there's a flashback story and then the main story happening.
Okay, so very Arrow, love it.
So the flashback story is gonna be the original kind of Most Dangerous Game story. So rich people on an island hunting people. Sure. And whoever wins is like tempted like, we're going to give you like this percentage of all of our companies. So you can also become a rich person. So this way we can have like a through line of like a corrupt guy. That's eventually someone's dad in the current storyline.
And like a lot of the people are former winners.
Yeah. It's okay. That kind of like it creates itself kind of culture of badness.
Right. Right.
So that's the one side. The other side, we can do it where after so many years, what they've done now is like, well, the forest is just horribly boring and gauche. So they just bought a city. And like, for most of the time, it operates just like a city. But then one night a year.
But then, however long a Most Dangerous Game takes. Yeah,
it turns into a hunting ground. So you can...
And all the people are gone. Like everyone evacuates the city except for the hunters and the huntees.
But this also lets us have the thing where the CW scenes of like, you're in a ridiculously spacious apartment for your means, and you're going to have a sexy scene where just your shirt comes off. Like that can all still happen.
So the only thing I want to add to this is the only problem I ever have with the pitches of the self-perpetuating machine is it doesn't account for the wrenches. And so I'd like to specifically address like a winner that was like, oh, yeah, I'll join you, and tried to take them down from the inside, and how thoroughly that person was destroyed to kind of stop people from wanting to do that. Do you get what I mean?
So they made an example. Yeah,
exactly. To prevent people from joining them only to try to destroy them.
Right.
Especially if this has been going on for a while, because to me, that's just a natural thing that would happen. Is somebody's like, oh, I went through this really traumatic experience. I'm going to join you, but try to prevent others from going through the same traumatic experience I did.
Right. My first, like, knee-jerk reaction to that is, why not this one be the person who does that?
So maybe even have it be... Because that's good CW drama, is you don't know who the mole is. You just know there's a mole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That also gives us room to have, like, the hacker friend and everything like that. Like, that gives us other factions and things, which is another thing you need.
And, of course, it has to be the absolute biggest jerk that's the good guy.
That might be a little obvious.
I mean, it's CW.
Yeah, so the thing about doing something in the style of that is we do not need to copy it word for word.
Okay, so we're not going for a parody.
CW is bad parodying. We don't need to do bad.
Because, listen, I would also, if this turns out to be a good idea, I'd also like to just make it and have it be good, so.
Yeah. So I like the idea of, like, the city. There is an anime.
Yes, Jake, called... why don't you tell us about this anime?
Oh, what is it? I watched the whole thing. It's called Junie Taizen, I think. It's a similar premise, except it's more of a, like, it's not like the rich people are hunting. It's like 12 people all fight and the winner gets a wish or something like that.
Are you sure it wasn't Mirai Nikki?
And that takes place in the city.
A Future Diary?
I'm 100% sure it is not that. It is, I think it's Juni Taizen.
There's a lot of anime that are literally that pitch, though.
That's fair.
Like the Fate series is that pitch.
There's a lot of everything that's a lot of...
Don't watch Future Diary. It's bad.
Isn't that the one that almost broke you in the WTF crew?
Uh-huh. Because there's a rape cult in episode 5 and no thank you.
Yeah, if it's not on Funimation, I don't watch it pretty much. So there's that. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch bad anime. But Juni Taizen is like Zodiac themed. And I was like, that sounds interesting. And everyone had a weird superpower. So that was pretty neat. What was I
Something
saying?
About a city.
So that idea like exists, but it is different enough. And you can do a lot of like interesting things with it. Like, you know, what if all of the people in a city are gone? Like, what can you do there? A lot, you know, without anybody guarding.
Like, you know,
anything.
There are people who...
It kind of sucks for those people that come back.
You know
back.
There are people who wait for that night or for that span of time and just go like, hell yeah.
Oh, there are also like booby traps and all sorts of stuff set up around the city.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I do feel like there's also like some crew of people who like sneak in specifically to like do heists during that time.
Oh, but then they're fair game, too.
And of course.
They become part of the game because you're here. All the cops
left. You die in real life. Yep. That's got to be a chapter title in this somewhere.
If you die in the game,
that's
you die
the
in real life.
Dumb kind of thing that they would do. I love it. Okay.
That almost gives it a VR spin to me.
Well, what if that's the dumb
is that it's
twist
all
at
VR
or everyone who died like gets out of their VR rigs and they're like, oh, well, none of you get to join our epic gamer crew.
Oh, God, I hate
it. I love it.
Yes.
It's so
Let's
stupid.
Do it. It's awful.
Okay. They wake up in this sim, but do they realize it's a sim? I don't think they do.
I think should we do some sort of thing where not like an amnesia, like they have no memory of getting here, so they don't know it's VR.
It's perfectly realistic. So they were knocked out wherever they were, and they wake up in this city, which could also explain like why things are completely abandoned and how that actually worked, and you know all of these logistical questions suddenly go away when it's virtual reality.
What if what it is everyone gets like an invitation like, hey, you got this new job in this city. So they move and they live their life for a little while in this city. And then one night they get put into the VR version of the city where it's now abandoned.
So it's familiar to them. It's not just like waking up somewhere they've never been. It's like this is the city, but, you know, it's weird, permanent twilight. I don't think we should do something like that because that would, I think, give away
like
the game.
Like day night
but...
cycle. They can eat. Like the food feels like it has sustenance, or you know, maybe they're like tube feeding them or something. So
it's telling their brain that they're eating, and the taste is real. In there's got to be some tell where like they don't get something right, like a specific type of food, because it's like at a like mom and pop shop.
Oh, it's a food truck that just came to town.
Oh, I've got something very stupid.
No, it's
got
to be like some like...
Banana candy actually tastes like bananas. It doesn't taste like the weird artificial banana flavor.
That all bananas are now, yeah.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that like someone, like one of our main protagonists, like breaks into their favorite restaurant. And it's like this tiny little hole in the wall. And like they're like in a refrigerator, there's like the dessert or whatever that they are like famous for. And when they eat it, it doesn't taste right because it's fake and because like you can't replicate whatever
something you've never had,
whatever secret family recipe this is. Like you can't replicate that because it's, you know, it's impossible. So they eat it like this is bad. This is like, oh, this one must have gone bad. But then later they're like, wait a minute. It was a clue.
I think we could do that, and we could also do something, because this is a comic book, We can also do something to, like, clue in the reader a little bit. Like, just very, very tiny things where, like, in the way background of a shot, a street sign has, like, a graphical error.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's behind, it's out of everyone's line of sight, though, except the reader.
Right.
I was thinking even, like, slicing. So, like, a street lamp in the distance is sliced on a diagonal and is slightly off.
We can hide these all over the place, but they have to be so minute that, like, you have to go back and look for them.
Because it should be that someone looks at that and just goes, oh, this must be, like, a printing error in my comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Like the kerning is off on this street sign or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, there needs to be... I was about to say there needs to be a lot of kerning errors, but then I also realized that's just real life and I hate it.
I mean, it'll just happen anyway.
Yeah.
And that's the other good thing. Anything that's wrong is just a glitch in the matrix, baby.
This is... Okay, okay. Let's talk about our characters. Because we need like, at least like a core trio.
Broody, 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 broody.
Okay,
not everyone is broody.
One of them does, like...
One of them broods that much.
One of them does broody, sure. But
I mean, if one's going to do broody, then another does, like, cheerful facade.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be someone who is just, like...
Joe.
Absolutely unprepared. Like, just 100%
not. Average Joe, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we actually need a 5-man band and not a trio.
See, I would also, like, one of those characters would be kind of the audience insert. Maybe they're the only one. Maybe they only moved to the city, like, a couple of days ago, where everybody else had been there for a couple of years. And so they're the one that's like, what the fuck is happening? This is so fucking weird, like... You know, having right. that one character that is kind of freaking out more than the others.
And then they can notice weird things and just be like, I guess that's just how the city is when it's empty, you know,
yeah.
like things like that.
I like that. That also makes them kind of like, that's not just the audience insert. That's also then like the creator's cat's paw a little bit because they're just like, oh, you noticed that glitch? Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Which is also a fun character to have. I like that. So, 5-man band. Five-man band. We have the audience insert, the broody guy, the cheerful one, the unprepared idiot, and who number 5?
I mean, you got to have a leader, right? You got to have someone competent. But I don't want it just to be like a...
The Buffy. We need a Buffy.
Like, you need a Buffy, yeah. And I want it to be someone who is like... You would not expect them to be, like, prepared, but they just, like, are like, okay, I panicked for 5 seconds, and now I have a problem to solve. Like, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. To where they're like, just, this is what we have to deal with. We'll worry about why later.
Okay.
Instead of it being, like, a retired Army Ranger or some dumb shit like that.
Who is normally the one that freaks? I would kind of like the roles to be flipped a bit. So, like, the one that normally freaks out, like, the archetype that normally freaks out is the archetype that is very stable and vice versa.
Well, the problem is they already did that with Buffy, where they took the blonde cheerleader
True.
And made her the epic hero.
Yeah, the girl that gets killed in the alley in the beginning of all the horror movies is the hero.
Which is good, and I don't mind, like, just straight up taking that and reusing it because it works for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's at this point, it's tried and true, I think.
Yeah.
I meant more like the quiet nerd is the one that's the leader, and, like, the boisterous, you know, jockey type is the one that's freaking out.
So we have to worry about... like how these people are all going to die, right? Because, like, that's the whole point of the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we have like, oh, here's the, I think if we set it up to where, like, here's the boisterous jock guy who's, like, very in charge, very air quotes alpha and all that shit, and then absolutely freaks out, that dude has to die first, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he, like, yells or something and just gets sniped or something.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Or is that his tactic that he, like, blows the rest of the group's plans, but is, like, just capable okay. enough that he can get out of the way.
I don't hate that because the big dumb jock guy is usually never conniving, and I kind of like that as a twist on it.
Are these people the only ones in the city, or are there others?
Oh no, there's got to be. If it's a comic, if it's a VR simulation, then I think we need to have like five people that are cast, and then our supporting cast of like up to 20, and then that's not including like antagonists. These are all people who like will either get in their way or they will come across or something. Like, there's a movie that just got canceled called The Hunt that is literally just the most dangerous game.
I heard about Benny that Gilpin. Because a bunch of Republicans got their panties in twist.
Anyway, so the movie The Hunt, I was very excited for, but then it got canceled. So I'm like, I don't want to like steal anything that might have been in that because Betty Gilpin like plays just some like hick who is just extremely fucking capable, it looks like. And I kind of like that. Also, I love Betty Gilpin. She deserves the world.
Okay, so in some of that supporting cast, we're going to have, I guess, like our primary rich people, right? Are part of that group?
A lot of the hunters, yeah, will be in the supporting. I think even some of the other, like, hunted people, because there's got to be some sort of announcement, right? Like, when everybody wakes up and there's got to be, like, on all the screens in the entire city, all the electronic billboard, everything has to play, like, this one video, and we can just show a bunch of
perspectives,
people all over the place watching it, of, like, hey, we're going to be killing you. And whoever wins gets wealth beyond their wildest dreams, or, you know, whoever's last standing. Because that way it also sets up the, like,
the stakes.
Like, hey, there can be a winner, you know? So, like, it's not like a, we need to stick together. It's like, if I can win, then I'm going to try. And that way we can have, you know, people basically quizzlings, like, killing other.
I kind of also like the idea of there being a cabin in the woods style control station.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing like, when we cut to it, people are like, oh, that's just somewhere within the city. But that's actually the VR control room.
Right, yeah. It's like if you were in this room and you, like, opened a door, that's where all the people are. Exactly, like,
in
right
the next
there.
Room over.
Yeah, okay.
And that also can explain, like, how they're able to perfectly track who's living, who's dying. But there's no, like, collars or implants or anything like that. But they just know.
I also like the idea that the hunters are also plugged in. So they have, maybe they have like some cheat code equivalents, but they're not like invincible because it's still like a game to them. So they're like, well, if I die, it doesn't matter. So they're being like wild.
But also, like, they can pay money for cheats. So they can pay money for like auto aim.
Yeah. So they just like at some point, like if they're trying to kill somebody, like they're trying to like hunt down like one of our mainer characters or like a important side character, they just like pull out a phone and like make a phone call and or like open an app or something and then just like hit a button and be like, yes, I agree to this purchase or whatever.
They can
and
see through walls.
They're better. Yeah.
I think also as kind of a fun thing to make them like genuinely terrifying in the story for a while, unless they're killed by one of the prey, they don't die. So like,
oh, so they can just straight up jump off a roof.
They've got GTA lives unless one of the other players kills them.
Also, I like the idea that their faces are covered somehow. Masks, something.
I feel like they should be like covered, but like they should be in like wild fucking Fortnite costumes.
No, that's what I mean. Individualized. But the only time their faces become revealed is when they die. And it's always, like, somehow the mask falls off or something slips. But, like, that's when you see the face. But what actually happens is the face covering is removed once they die.
Well, because it goes into the player inventory as, like, a
surprise.
I
also think that we need to have this kind of in stages to do, like, a heightened tension thing. so that it's not just one-on-one, like every man for themselves yet, that it starts out as a team so that we have a reason for our crew to be together.
Yeah, I think the first, like, act one is, like, exploring the city and just trying
it's the,
to...
It's the countdown, right?
Like, right off the bat, you need to have... Yeah, so we have, like, a five-man band, right? But, like, we start with six characters. Yeah. And so, like, and the sixth character has got to be some sort of, like, very capable person who seems like they got it
but
all.
But they're actually a red shirt.
And then they need to die. Yeah, and then they need to die so that everyone else can be like, well, fuck, now we're dead. Like, we don't know what to do. That guy was an army ranger. What do we know? Like, yeah. You know, shit like that. But they need to, like, at least our main characters need to, like, decide to, like, stick together. Because, like, I think the other, like, whoever the de facto leader is, like, the person who's like, oh, hold on, like, let me just think about this for a second, like, that kind of person. They need to, like, realize, like, if we kill all the people hunting us, then we win, too. Like, it's not just whoever's not dead at the end. Like, we can also hunt back. So I think they need to figure that out pretty early, too. And so that way they have a reason to stick together.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that also lets us eventually, like, five-man band chops down to the core trio, chops down to the every man for themselves.
Yeah, I think they should be split up a couple times because, like, it's a big city and, like, you know, when, like, five hunters all, like, drop down on you at once, you're like, fucking scatter. We don't, like,
But also, I have this a good way for us to transition from the five-man band down to, like, a smaller crew at the end of Act 1.
Okay.
The player insert dies. Like, the reader insert character dies. So that then that okay. like one, it's just like the comic book perspective, like you see it happen, and then the comic book perspective is like face down on the ground, like a cameraman got off in Cloverfield.
Right.
But then also like the whole story kind of gets unshackled from that point of view and can expand out to.
Right. Yeah. Like we like stick around the one person up until that happens and then the POV can split. Okay, yeah, I like that.
Alan, you were going to say something?
For some reason, this all, especially because we're in a city, and when I think CW, I also, and this is positive, I also think, like, really interesting camera shots and colors. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of, like, neon lights and washing outs of, like, blues and purples, standing in the rain, like, all of these really neat shots, and especially in an abandoned city, I think would translate really well into the comic book medium.
I would like as much as possible to channel the visual aesthetic of John Wick 2.
Yeah, it is very much like a
neo-noir, Alan. It's great.
Rock opera.
At the very least, just watch the movies with Mikey about it. It's great. Everyone should do that.
Man, that third one's got to be coming out on Blu-ray soon. I'm fucking stoked.
I also think there needs to be a thing where the hunters, along with like the hacks and everything, I think they also need to be able to have some limited control over their immediate environment so that one that's like a drama queen can basically just like push a button and have a downpour start so he can have a duel in the rain.
Right.
The only thing how hard do we want to tip the hand that it's not real? Are we saying these are super powered people? Like, are we playing it more?
I don't think it should be like obvious, but they definitely need to be like in The Purge, you know, I haven't seen a Purge, but I've seen the commercials for The Purge. And there's like, this is a crazy person in a weird Statue of Liberty outfit, but they're doing murders. Like, I feel like it should be like they should look like that, and it should just be like kind of horror movie rules where like I could have sworn that like that should have killed them, you know, like or whatever, but it didn't, or like how they get out of
but
there.
But I also like the idea of them having limited control over their environment. I'm just worried that if it just all of a sudden starts downpouring at the convenient time, that might be playing the hand a little bit too much. Or do you think that's playing into like the trope. Okay.
That's just tropes, baby. Like that's, you know, that's nothing like it rains when someone's about to get murdered all the time in movies and stuff. And as long as they don't show them like hit a button that says like rain, you know, like, so like, I think like when they call in cheat codes, it should be them calling and be like, yes, I need this thing. Like I need, you know, package A or whatever. Because then you can just assume, like, well, these people are obviously in control. They're going to get something airdropped into them. They're going to get a new, cool, fancy gun. And yes, they will, but that gun is auto-aimed.
The scope can see through the walls. A 900x
scope. Yeah, they got a far sight from Perfect Dark.
You could also have a thing where someone, like, one of the hunters wants the rain to just trip on. And so he calls in, and the control room just goes, okay. Pushes a button, and the next panel is just like, you see spigots start spraying water out, and then it's raining. Even if that's not actually happening, it looks like it's just manufactured.
I think we should save that for like
that's the final three, fight.
Because I think the first time, because so whoever kills people in the rain, that's got to be like his dumb signature, right? Like, so it always starts raining right before he's about to do murders, right? So you just think it's like horror movie tropes where like, oh, it's raining, it's scary, right? And then like once we kind of figure out. It might, you know, something's not up, then he can call in the rain. And like, because other than that, like, he'll show up and then like thunder and it starts raining and it's just ominous because like that's Jason Voorhees but unicorn in a fucking mask.
Yeah,
clown outfit or what, you know, like dressed like a school mascot or something, you know.
Can he have a giant carrot on his head? Because I just thought of, like, the Fortnite tomato thing.
They all look like dumbass Fortnite kids.
What's funny is the only reason I know about that is there's a YouTube channel called Made You Look where she does, like, makeup looks and stuff, but it's body paints of horror, and she did the Tomato Man. So I just think it would be an interesting nod to do it as, like, another random vegetable or fruit and have it be something so ridiculous and yet so ominous and scary. Like, the juxtaposition of those two things, I think, would be very interesting.
I don't think the kill in the rain guy should be the carrot mascot head guy. I feel like that guy takes himself very seriously.
True, he's just like that in black body armor.
He's just got the all black stormtrooper look almost. Yeah, I think also having that rain effect gives us a good visual cue that we can put in the background of things. Like, why is there a thunderstorm happening just four blocks away from here?
Yeah, it's raining over there, but not over here. Like, that means, and like at first it'd be like, oh, it's going to be coming our way. Like, it's, you know, it'll turn off.
Yeah,
it'll
come over like they notice that there's wind, but there's no movement of the clouds.
Someone eventually tells them to run away from the rainstorms.
Oh, that could, like, there. I don't think someone should tell them to run away. I think one of the characters should figure out, like, the rain is coming this way. We need to, like, not be
that's
caught
an act
in it,
two thing,
like,
right? Like, that's an
everyone
act two.
Everyone dies when
that's it, when stuff starts getting really weird.
Like, where they're like figuring out the tropes, but they haven't figured out, like,
do they learn that because that's how the POV character dies? Is they get caught in the rainstorm?
Oh, yeah,
and
that,
so
that
all
could
we
work.
See is like,
yeah,
from his like thigh down of just this black armored dude walking past after he's dead.
Yeah, so like the first like four or five people who get killed by this guy, like, it just happens in the rain and it's not like a big deal because like it's a spooky noir city. It's gonna rain. And then like once the POV character, it's like maybe it's a thing where like they're murdered, like they're killed and they don't know from where. And then we see that guy walk by and like the panel, it's maybe like a 9-panel grid and like it's just like rain. Like, they're laying on the ground. It's like rain, guy walks by, guy's out of frame, rain, sunshine. Like, the rain literally walks by them.
I like
that. And so then that's when we can, figure out, like, that guy is the rain. Like, that's just around him.
And I'm also assuming that this is going to be, like, a Black Label type. Like, this is going to be a fairly graphic.
I mean, people are getting murdered, I assume.
Because, when you said that, what I pictured, this is a little extreme, but what I pictured was the POV character's decapitated head, like, just on the ground.
I just figured he got shot and we're just, like, looking through dead eyes. Like, it might be interesting to watch, like, blood wash away or something, but...
I don't think we should be in the actual, like, looking through the eyes of the POV character. I think that's too corny. Like, I don't want the first part of the thing to be drawn from someone's perspective, because then you can't do anything else. You can only show what they see. But if it's just centered around them.
Is like that 9-panel grid, I see their face being in the center of it, pretty much. And then, like, when the boots walk by, it obscures the character's face. Do you get what I mean?
I'm just saying it's just their face. I feel like that's
like
too
they're
corny.
Lying on the ground.
I mean, I don't. I was just picturing
That's kind of what I was figuring too. Like, torso, I don't want to be like, you know, super murder porn about it. In a...
I don't need to be fucking Eli Roth about it. It's just like, this is a dead person, mm-hmm. and like that's not the point of the panel though. Like this person is like a character we liked, but they're dead now. But now, like.
Especially
look
if we're
at
keeping
the other
to
stuff.
The
that's
CW
the important
feel,
part.
Like,
that's fair.
There's not a lot explicit about that.
No.
They
try.
Toe that line.
They try really hard, but.
All right, what else do we need to cover?
A name?
We need a name. We need. What happened? Okay, so let's talk about the end game of this, because I'm assuming it's like a limited series graphic novel kind of deal. Like, it's not like an ongoing. So we don't need to figure out like production stuff, like how many issues, blah, 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 all that shit. Just like the end. Like, does somebody win or do they take out all the hunters?
I feel like if they take out all the hunters, that does like a nice subverting expectations thing. But also, isn't it just better if we got really, really tight with one of these characters and they win and they get inducted into this, like, oh, now you're going to hunt people thing?
I think maybe the plan should be, like, we need to take out the hunters, and they keep doing that until they get to the end. And I don't think the end one should be the guy in the rain. I feel like they should, like, just... Like right after the POV character's dead, they're like, we need to gang up on that guy, and
is
they just
that,
like jump
maybe the
him in like an alley,
climax.
You know?
Is that guy?
Yeah, and then Act 3 is like, who hunts the hunters? Us, we do.
It turns into weird again,
you know, a little bit, yeah. And then I think it needs to it can't be like perfect, right? It can't be a perfect system. So like they have to start dying off while fighting them, and then the end should be like the final boss and two characters, and one of them is like the girl who is like looks meek and, you know, like a fucking librarian, but it's just like, no, I just like I'm just determined not to die today, and so like figures out, and like the second to last person dies like protecting her or like giving her an opening to kill the final hunter. And so she wins and then wakes up, and then there everybody is.
Yeah.
You know, not dead. They're not dead in real life, are they? Or is that, or are we going with that? Like, if you die in the game, you die in real life.
I like it better if they're not dead, because then it does give, I don't know, it feels better.
What if we don't say?
What if we save it? What if we just like there's just a bunch of people and they're limp and it's like clearly the other characters, but like maybe all the hunters get out of their VR thing because like they died, but like, of course they can get out. They're the hunters.
Act 3,
you know?
We've already revealed that this is some other control room, right?
I don't know how I think the reveal should not happen until the win, but I feel like it should be.
So
obvious
okay.
that
so
something
my thought
else
for
is
the
going
ending.
On by then.
So when she wins and her VR helmet goes up, what she sees are all the other people, the victims or the hunted, that are still in their machines on IVs with tubes, right? Yep.
And they
they're
still
have
their
totally
VR gear on, and they're just completely
and a
limp.
Nurse
just
comes
like
to
not,
her, removes the tubes and stuff, and she sees that another person on the other side of the room is getting the same treatment, but there are a bunch of empty chairs, like, next to that person. And that person is the final hunter. And
so it's
they
like the
go,
last person.
And they go into a room, and all the hunters are there having tea, or just, like, chilling, waiting.
It should absolutely be like a video game release party kind of thing. Like, it should be some just like big, dumb, like tech bro event. Like,
and she walks into like this room full of screaming people with like her face plastered everywhere with winner.
Yeah. Cause like, cause the idea, like the idea is like whoever is last wins. So she did not need to kill the other person, but by doing that, she immediately gets this like bump in status, right? Like, I can't believe you killed Duke. He's the fucking best, you know, like some shit like that. So like that, like immediately bumps up the status. They all need to be all like wicked, like bro-y and like psyched about it. Like it's a fucking e-sport. And like, maybe there's a bunch of rich people betting on it around the world.
I think you also need to do something that's got like the board and all of the people are like, all the other players are like, all the other competitors period are X'd out. But like next to it is like their final shot. So like, and that's like,
it's
the
like
rest
how
of
they
the
died.
World.
Yeah. And then, so then here's my idea. Let me just set up a sequel real quick. Right. Cause now it's like, now you're a hunter. Like, congratulations. Here's a bunch of like free money. And like, yeah, you had to go through this horribly traumatic thing that felt completely real, but like, whatever, you got money now.
And I also, before you go there, I love also, like, she broke her arm in like the final fight or something, or maybe earlier, but when she wakes up, she's whole.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's like, her arm is fine, and I think that can set up, because I...
She remembers the pain.
But she still remembers it, so there's still like all of this, like, you know, trauma that happened in there, and that she's just now like expected to be like, haha, it was a game, get over it, you know. But like, to her, all the people I met are still dead. All like, all those other people are dead. The only people who got out of the chairs were the hunters. So like, what the fuck? And then the sequel is the lead up to the next game, and like, it's her being like, I need to fucking take this down. Like, I need to figure out how to take this down from the inside. And I think the sequel we can put on the board for like to do later, because I think we can get a lot of good ideas out of it. But in the beginning, she needs to start seeing, maybe she like sees some of the people that were in the game.
They removed the memories,
but they just don't remember any of it. Like, they were just given, like, you know, it's just like, you know, they had a weird dream or something, you know. But to her, it's like, I remember every single second of that. Like, you know, I remember almost starving to death because
I love
we couldn't
the
find
idea
anything
of
to eat
even
for
like
2 days.
Being in a supermarket or something, and she turns onto an aisle and sees the person who sacrificed their life for her, and they don't know who she is. Like, she just starts crying and goes to hug them, and they're like, whoa, who the fuck are you?
You're like, hey, are you all right? Like, what's up?
Hey, aren't you that lady from that video game?
Like, or yeah, like, oh, you look just like the MDG. Person in fucking
whatever that stands for, MDG.
Face punch or whatever, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's the name of it. I don't know what we can make the acronym aside from Most Dangerous Game, but.
Right. Yeah, I like
that's,
that.
That's the other concern.
Well, that's, you know, it's feature problems, you know. That's if it gets made problems. So do we just call it MDG? Like,
I think so. Like, it's catchy. It sounds vaguely like video gamey, like PUBG or you know, that kind of thing.
Man, I wish Plunkbat would have taken off with the acronym for PUBG instead of PUBG.
Yeah, I like all this. Oh. MDG sounds good. All right.
Because the cover can be like MDG and then under it, Most Dangerous Game.
Yeah.
You know, and then you know what's up. Like, oh, they're being hunted, you know, because like it's a public domain property. People know most of them by now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I like that. I like it a lot.
All right. What else? Because we've been going for about 55 minutes now. What else do we need to do?
I think we need to. How do we pick a Verncraft?
Well, we have a list and we'll roll randomly on it. You're rolling 2 through 13, Alan.
8.
The Adventures of Captain Hatteras.
I have no fucking clue what that is. Me is that a Vern? Or, that's obviously a Vern. That's a Vern. There's no way that's a craft.
I believe it's
are
actually
they both on the list?
And I think in our in the parlance, yeah, I think it's going to be he's probably going to be similar to our Fury.
It was probably published in two parts in English. The
we
English
do the research now.
The English at the North Pole and the Desert of Ice.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Which can fit very, very well with Lovecraft.
Yeah, we'll worry about that next time. We do have a review.
Yeah. And we have a new patron.
And a new patron.
So you can go find all of our Patreon stuff and some bonus content over there at patreon.com/hardreboot, where our newest patron, Lindsay A., pledged to join
us. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So, hey, jump over there. We got some cool stuff happening. Some bonus content went up. It's going to be great. Y'all are going to enjoy that. What's that review, Jake?
This is from L-A-K. L and K are both spelt out, but I think they might be initials altogether. I don't know. The review is as follows. This show is fun. You have three clever, imaginative, and hilarious guys striving to reimagine stories that have been either redone to death or forgotten about completely. Their ideas are daring and new, and I immediately became a patron when I heard they're working on novels based off of folk songs. You guys, you unlocked the key to my heart. I don't want to say too much because the reveals of the medium of the genre for these reboots are fantastic. Movies, miniseries, comics, classics you can't go wrong with, but board games, shared universes, give it to me now. The best is that the trio, Alan, Jake, and Matt, are just a joy to listen to. They are visionary in their ideas and supportive of one another, and just a pleasure to listen to. Follow them, listen to this podcast, and just enjoy.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. I feel like this might be Lindsay, because L might be the spelled out version of a letter, regardless of whoever it is.
Thank you so much.
There's
that was very nice.
All the parts are there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. This is great. So, next month, we'll be back on our regular schedule, I promise. we're going to do our Vern Craft, and we'll see you there for the spooky month.
Spooky.
But until then,
I've been Matt.
If you die in the reboot, you die in real life. Oh, we got to do our names. Yeah, I tried jumping names on Alan because I thought he was going to do his fucking You've Been Rebooted.
We got to do our names.
Ah, fine.
See, now you just gave him ideas, Jake. I've been Matt.
And I've been Alan. And remember.
And now that's
if
it.
And now you die it. In the if game. You've been rebooted.
What an unpleasant Sonic experience for everybody.
You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. Alan Sells can be found at Alan_Sells on Twitter. Matt Hoadley can be found at Matt Hoadley, and Jake Mason can be found at JJ_Mason.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.